The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Show. Morning, everybody. It is 5 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, July 27, 2021. Everybody's on the job, and the weather on a Tuesday, hot and hazy. Again, more of the smoke from a distant fire, 97 the high. Tomorrow, 98, hot and dry. Thursday, mostly sunny, 95. Friday, as we edge towards the weekend, we get some rain. And isn't it going to be the case? It's going to rain off and on the weekend. 710 KNUS, Tom has the news, and good morning, sir.
Thank you very much, Peter. Good morning. A third body has been found in connection with the flash flooding in Poudre Canyon. The victim has only been identified as that of an adult male. Two others have been identified as Patricia Brown from Madison, Wisconsin, and David Brown from San Antonio, Texas. I guess they are brother and sister. One other person remains missing. This news is sponsored by America's Best Contacts and Glasses. Don't overpay for glasses. Get two pairs and a free exam for just $69.95. That's not just a better deal, it's America's best. Book your exam online today. Colorado's Health Department today will text reminders to parents of children who are more than 40 days past due for their second COVID-19 vaccination. They'll follow that up with emails Thursday. Meanwhile, more than 50 medical groups are making an urgent push nationally for a mandate that all healthcare workers get vaccinated. The Department of Veterans Affairs already issued such a mandate. California and New York City will require workers to get the shots or be tested weekly. And White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the U.S. will keep existing COVID-19 restrictions in place on international travel due to the Delta variant. Gotta clear my throat there. Everything ran out. Boy, I tell you, the smoke in the air is just...
It's really strong.
It really
you
is.
You can feel it.
Grabbing it,
indeed.
Yeah. The new school year begins next month for Aurora Public Schools, which will give student options to attend classes in person or online. District officials say their experience of online schooling during the pandemic helped them create the flexibility that can meet different types of student needs. The first hearing of the House Select Committee investigating January's Capitol attack begins this morning. Ousted GOP conference chair Liz Cheney is expected to give the opening statement. Typically, the opening statement is made by ranking members. Denver Mayor Michael Hancock, in his State of the City address, pushes for a $450 million infrastructure bond that he claims will create 7,500 jobs. The centerpiece would be a new mid-sized arena at the National Western Center, which he described as state-of-the-art. On Wall Street, S&P futures are down a quarter of a percent, Dow futures down a third of a percent, and NASDAQ futures down a tenth of a percent in advance of this morning's opening. And Pete, Norman Lear turns 99 today.
Yeah. Mick Jagger turns 78.
Today?
Yes.
Oh, no kidding.
Or yesterday, I think.
Uh-huh.
Mick's birthday, so he's older than we are.
Yeah, he is.
And Norman Lear's how old?
99.
Changed the face of television.
Oh, boy, sure did.
And also the mayor is said the city will plan to acquire hundreds more hotel and motel rooms for the homeless.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Also expanding safe outdoor spaces and create more tiny home villages, as well as create more safe parking spaces, providing more housing vouchers and wraparound services to help the unhoused transition into permanent housing.
In other words, y'all come to Denver.
Well, this is one more extension of Michael Hancock and the John Hickenlooper, We Win Homelessness. But think mm-hmm. about this. Think about the utter failures that all of us have witnessed, the incredible cancer that's grown on this city, and yesterday crowing that the city will plan to do more of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking it's absurd. It's obscene, and the media cheers it on. We're going to get hundreds more hotel and motel rooms. I'm sure that's going to be grand. Expand safe outdoor spaces and create more tiny home villages, as well as creating more safe parking spaces. Provide more housing vouchers, wraparound services to help the unhoused transition into permanent housing. They ain't going into permanent housing any more than I'm flying to the moon. But, however, these initiatives are outlined, as you point out, in the address to the city. I have a bunch of good stuff for open lines, modestly, he says, but let me ask you a question. I wrote this down. Have you ever felt this lost before?
In terms of, I'm not sure.
In our country.
In our country.
In our city, in our state.
Yeah, no, never. Never. No, that's
I'm
true.
Lost.
Yeah.
I'm lost.
Yeah.
303-696-1971. The United States is withdrawing thousands, and this is a correct move, thousands of soldiers from Iraq and Afghanistan. The column that I wrote that, interestingly enough, usually I get beat over the head with something, but it's up 710KNUS/Peter Boyle is our website, The Cry of the Hawk. I'm watching this last night and reading about it last night. I did get a chance to see a little bit of the Olympics last night. The United States is now pulling thousands of soldiers out of Iraq and Afghanistan. We saw yesterday Joe Biden says, you know, this is it for combat soldiers in Iraq. And it's this great sadness. Almost sometimes there's a word called a malaise. A depression's a good word. A sadness is a better word. Do you feel lost? Legit question. I know it's going to, you know, you have to go out on a limb perhaps a little bit. But I'm watching this idiot do this State of the Union or State of the City. And watching all the, I mean, it's almost like the incredible insanity of American Middle East policy and the continuation of doing more of the same. And each time hoping, well, this time, you know, the surge will work or this will work or that will work. And we go back to John Hickenlooper and his road home in 2005 and all the insanity that has followed along with this. And yesterday, this guy, and believe me when I tell you, he does not call the shots in this city. Believe me when I tell you, Mayor Hancock is playing for the door right now. Michael Hancock said the city will plan to acquire hundreds more hotel, motel. And when I'm watching this, I just get sadder. I mean, who doesn't love Denver? Who didn't love Denver, maybe is a better way to say it. And these people are destroying the city. It's a destructive nature of politically correct government of the progressive left of the Democrats. We're going to get hundreds more hotel and motel rooms. Can you imagine this?
Yeah.
Expand safe outdoor spaces to sleep.
Is there any such thing as a safe outdoor space?
No, of course not.
Yeah.
They've destroyed outdoor being safe in Denver. Create more tiny home villages or create more safe parking spaces. This is what they're doing in this church over on Colorado Boulevard. You can just pull your car into the lot and spend a night.
Mm-hmm.
Like nothing's going to happen then. Provide more housing vouchers. Bob Cote handed out housing vouchers as long as I knew Bob. He would hand out these vouchers. This is good for a place to stay and a meal. One time. In all the years, one time. These are housing vouchers. You can show up high. You can, you know, whatever you want to do. Wraparound services to help the unhoused transition into permanent housing. Does anybody believe that these people are going to go into permanent housing? Number two, how are they going to pay the rent? They're not. They don't want to work. They don't work. They don't want to work.
Well, we're paying the rent.
Of course you are.
Yes.
But then it sort of boils down to all of this stuff, and I'm watching it. And I'm thinking of this once proud, great nation. Truly, this one time, you know, the Ronald Reagan's shiny city on the hill. And then I started reading headlines, and I bring some stuff in. Fourth graders required to complete equity surveys and not to tell their parents.
And not to tell their parents?
Don't discuss it with their parents.
They're saying that in schools?
A fourth grade student in Central State St. Stephen's School in Minnesota informed the school board students were required to complete an equity survey and told not to repeat any of the questions to our parents.
Oh, man.
No, I'm not making this up.
Yeah, state takes over for parenting.
My teacher said I could not skip any questions, even though I didn't understand them. Haley Yuskar, who attended Riverview Intermediate School, said a recent school board meeting reported this, and they said, one question asked us what gender we identify with. I was very confused along that with lots of my classmates. Being asked to hide this from my mom and my dad made me uncomfortable, like I was doing something wrong. Parents in the district are concerned about the push to teach concepts associated with critical race theory. EAM describes its website, a group that's been lending cultural relevance and learning since 1995. That's just verbal diarrhea. Equity Alliance is Minnesota working to keep the educational ecosystem across Minnesota. Listen to the doublespeak. I mean, let me read this again. Equity Alliance Minnesota is working to make the educational ecosystem across Minnesota equitable for every single student. The leading force for systematic educational equity and integration through collaborative learning and advocacy. What does that mean? You don't have a clue, do you?
I don't know.
I don't either. I have no idea. Do you feel, I mean, are you lost? I truly am. I'm lost. I can't find my way back home.
Every parent of a child in a public school, or any school for that matter, should instruct their kid, if you are instructed by anybody not to tell your parents, you come and tell me immediately. You know? I mean, you say that about if Uncle Harry
touches you. Yeah, sure.
And says, don't tell mommy and daddy, you come and tell.
But you become that one kid. They target the one kid for punishment, and then that kid becomes that kid, and you don't want to be that kid. And,
yeah.
Would you expect anything else from these people?
Oh, gee.
So,
that was Minnesota.
That's Minnesota, sure. Yeah. The home of some of the more progressive legislators.
Right.
303-696-1971. Can you cop to it? Do you feel lost, legitimately feel lost? Mm. I do. Mm. I mean, I don't understand anything that's going on right now. I really don't. I mean, I think, well, Peter, you know, but... And then watching the United States withdraw thousands of troops now from Iraq, which is a good thing, but what a sad thing.
Yeah.
And so I wrote this column, The Cry of the Hawk. 710KNUS/Peter Boyles.
That's the one that you were so very impressed.
It made me emotional. I teared a little bit when I wrote it. But what have you learned? When watching the soldiers are now leaving Afghanistan, I wrote about it. I said, what was the difference between pushing the helicopters off of the sides of the aircraft carriers in the South China Sea, the fall of Saigon, and turning over actually leaving Bagram? They pulled out of Afghanistan at night and didn't tell the Afghans. Yeah. It's horrible. But it was done by George Bush. It was done by Dick Cheney. It was done by Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld. And it was continued by every one of these people. They just continued. Thousands of soldiers now will leave Iraq and Afghanistan. What have you learned? What's the lesson of that? What is the lesson of American foreign policy beginning back when you were a kid? What's the lesson? Hmm. How much money was spent? How many young men and women died? God knows how many Asians died. God knows how many Arabs died. God knows how many Afghans died. God knows how much horribleness was spread by the United States of America and the policies of Bush and Cheney and the rest of these people, Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon. Can anybody learn anything? So there's a sadness to this. And I don't know, do you think the country survives?
Do I think?
Do you think the country survives?
Ultimately, no.
Yeah, no, of
no,
course.
Not at all.
Keep this up.
Yeah, that's right.
Keep this up. See what happens. Where are we headed? What are we going to do? How are you going to know when you get there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Keep this up.
Well, watch it inch by inch now. Extend it into the ruler and then into the yardstick and then into the mile. I mean, my gosh, where we're headed.
Fourth graders required to complete equity survey and told not to discuss with their parents. You teach a, ask a fourth grader what gender you do you identify with? Mm-hmm. The equity, I read this last night. And I just have to read it again to you this morning. This is how these people think. You want an insight into the rabbit warren of some guy's mind. These are the cello-shaped educrats, as Rosen calls them. Equity Alliance Minnesota is working to make the educational ecosystem across Minnesota equitable for every single student. The leading forces for systematic educational equity and integration through collaborative learning and advocacy. Okay. Okay.
We're, in other words, we're going to indoctrinate the kids for what we want them to become, and this? Don't tell your parents.
David Switzer. Deficiencies in data, methodology, and reporting require the details of all omissions and errors. In other words, we got to know everything we know about your kid. We can't do a good job. I would also note that little, if any, evaluation of community responses is contained in this audit. There's no way of verifying whether or not those who answered the survey are actually in the district, someone not outside the district, or possibly someone from EAMA. Sure. They're targeting these kids is what they're really doing.
Sure.
And
sure.
It's like,
of course. Of course.
But I look at this, it's like soulless. I mean, I think many things have lost their soul.
Uh-huh.
One of them is what you and I do for a living has lost its soul. But, I don't know. Do you see this? This Hancock speech about what they're going to do for the unsheltered. I mean, I watched this. I watched it on the on replay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else to call it anymore. You can go get it on television and make it play again.
Yeah.
Saying, I mean, you have my word. Maybe we could play this, Billy, if you want to go search it out. I don't know if it matters. You have my word. Like, how good do you think Michael Hancock's word is?
Mm.
How good was his word? Please. You have my word. I mean, the fact that he said that, come on. Like, have I ever lied to you before?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, it's like, I'm not lying.
Have I ever gamed you folks before?
Right,
come on.
Right. I want to be honest now.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm being truthful.
Yeah.
You have my word. We're going to continue to deploy. That's like an army term.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to deploy every tool available with the goal of lifting thousands of people out of homelessness over the next 2 years, including those living on our streets in the most unsafe and unhealthy conditions, which I, of course, allowed to happen in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe this?
No, I do.
All right. Reiterating, as what he said at the end of June, Hancock said the city will plan to acquire hundreds more hotel and motel rooms, expand safe outdoor spaces, create more tiny home villages, as well as create more safe parking spaces, provide more housing vouchers, wraparound services to help the unhoused transition into permanent housing. He wants more programs to help people from becoming homeless to begin with. Like, what's that like?
maybe.
I'm telling you.
Get a job.
Yeah, get a job. There's signs everywhere.
Right.
We're hiring.
Yeah, we're hiring.
We're giving you money to come to work.
We are desperate for workers.
Get a job,
yes,
right?
Yes, hey. Yes.
Don't you love this?
Uh-huh.
He said he wants to help people from becoming homeless to begin with. Get a job. You won't get homeless. Mm-hmm. With things like rental and utility assistance, eviction protection programs. I'm not paying my rent because I'm not working. Okay, we'll protect you. Creating new and preserving existing affordable homes.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Which, of course, they will spruce up and make more valuable those homes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
Oh, boy.
I'm telling you, Smalls. Despite calls from homeless advocates to stop the sweep of the homeless encampments. Yeah, why? They have, like what they did at the All-Star game. Now they're pretending they're not doing it, right?
Right.
Well,
right.
We never did that.
Yeah.
What the hell happened in the All-Star game?
I don't know.
I don't. I'm like, so
That's why you want to move in the wilderness somewhere.
I have a couple of great friends up in Sturgis, and they decided to start sending me homes for sale. Wait a minute. I found one yesterday for $128,000. Seriously. I got to find this out. But it was like, it's a cool little house. And they sent me one the other day for $238,000. Nice little house. It's got two bathrooms. Kind of looks like the one house looks like the one we grew up in. Uh-huh. You know, it was $128,000 on 8th Street in Sturgis, those of you who know Sturgis. I said, that looks pretty good. Wait a minute.
It's looking better and better.
That's right.
I tell you.
Start down that hallway with that mistletoe tapped on your Levi's. You're going, I'm heading for the elevator. All right. The GI is now leaving Iraq and Afghanistan. The great sadness. What's the lesson? What is the lesson of what you're just watching tied into Southeast Asia? What is the lesson? Legitimately, what is the lesson? This idiocy in the city, what is the lesson? The idiocy in the country, what is the lesson? The lesson is nothing goes on forever, which of course we know that. All good things come to an end. And we're squished between two lies. But I gotta love this one. Gotta love this one. What do you think the city of Denver is going to look like 2 years from now?
Oh, man.
Think about that. This is a two-year plan. With Hickenlooper, it was a 10-year plan.
Mm-hmm.
They're like the commies, you know, the great.
Right. Everything was a five-year plan.
Seven-year.
Was it?
Yeah. 5 years. It depended on what it was about. But you had your great five-year. You had your great seven-year. Yeah. You had your great leap forward.
Mm-hmm.
You had your million. You had your thousand blossoms opening. The commies always came up with, like, you know, we always said, glorious people build glorious airport, you know, DIA, glorious people. It was always glorious people.
Uh-huh.
Glorious people build hydroelectric dam, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Glorious people build tanks. Glorious people end homelessness.
Right.
All right. I'm sick and tired of this. 303-696-1971. Are you lost? I mean, emotionally, psychologically, in any and all, I mean, just look. You look out the front door in the morning and you're lost. You go, wait a minute. You know?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What am I watching?
I remember this town. Wait a minute.
We're rocked this town.
Uh-huh.
Do you feel lost? The web store, my column was up, The Cry of the Hawk, ties right into Joe Biden saying we're getting out of Iraq. All right. 97 will be the high today. 303-696-1971. It is your turn. Use your call gently. Tom and I are old.
Yes.
22 after the hour. 710 KNUS, 97 to high, 98 tomorrow. Stay here. Better believe it, 5:30 on 710 KNUS on a Tuesday morning. So 710 KNUS Talk Radio Tuesday morning, July the 27th, 2021. 97 to high today and 98 tomorrow, 95 on Thursday and 92 on Friday. 303-696-1971. Organized insanity continues on text messaging this morning, the 27th of July. The announcement comes yesterday that more GIs will be pulled out of Iraq. What's the lesson? What is the lesson about American foreign policy? What is the lesson about the government? What is the lesson about lies? What is the lesson of George Bush? What is the lesson of Richard Nixon? What is the lesson of Lyndon Johnson? What is the lesson of Barack Obama? What is the lesson of Hillary Clinton? Or do they have those things? We go to Bill. You're on a radio show. Good morning. It is a Tuesday.
Hey, Pete. First-time caller, so I'm a little nervous, but I think I have the solution to one of your problems. What you need to do is go to a 4-H meeting up in Park County.
Yeah. And see real America. No, I agree. I feel
that.
I
mean, these kids, they're not confused about what gender is. And you see these kids, they're from the ages of 4 to 18, and they're running these little meetings, and they're having Robert's Rules of Order, and they respect people, and they respect their parents, and they know what life is all about.
Sure. Agri kids always do. But I think that number is shrinking. With apologies, I love what you're saying. I get to, believe it or not, I get the same feeling. Things are okay when I ride motorcycles and go around bikers. I feel the same way.
Yep.
Skiing, I oftentimes feel the same way skiing when you meet people that live in the mountains full time.
Yeah.
But I would also, and I love your call, that's shrinking, you know it, and I know it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, we went to the Park County Fair, mm-hmm. and we went to the 4th of July up there, and we watched, my wife works for the Flume, so she mm-hmm. interviewed the royalty of the fair, and, I mean, these girls work so hard. Mm. And when you think about, you know, their work ethic, and when you think about their appreciation for what they have, it just does your heart good.
But they're generational. I have this thing that I bounce off myself, and I'll try it on you. With it, may I ask how old you are?
I'm probably within a year of you.
Cool. Okay. Now, when you were growing up, did you know any kids that did not go to church?
Very few. Okay. It was a Catholic neighborhood.
Okay. No. I mean, it doesn't matter, you know. Number two, did you know any kids whose parents were divorced?
One or two, maybe.
Okay. Did you know, well, the sort of the father in the home, and there were two kids, but their dads had lost their lives in the Second World War, but there was always the dad's brother or the mom's brother. There was always
absolutely.
You remember that as well?
Oh, absolutely.
There was a guy that, you know, when it was whatever reasons, you know, baseball or boxing or whatever we did.
Oh yeah.
There were, you know, like this one kid, Jimmy, that we grew up with. His dad, I think, lost his life at Normandy. I'm not sure. But his dad's brother was always there.
Uh-huh.
Did you know any moms that, and again, it's a cautious question, that worked outside of the home?
Mine did. Sure. Because I was the only single parent kid in the neighborhood.
Okay.
But, you know, we had Red Shield League, we had boxing clubs.
Oh, I did boxing in the Red Shield, yeah.
And over in Globeville, we always had, you know, males who took care of you. And
yeah,
when I went on, you know, during the father and son dinners at Horace Mann, I always got a neighbor to go with me.
Mm-hmm. What Bill's talking about, the Red Shield is the Salvation Army, because it was it's a Red Shield. What happened to your dad, if I could?
He died before I was born.
Okay, all right. But my mom worked at Sears. My mom worked in a bakery, but it was, and I'm not taking away from anything, and I'm not suppressing anybody's ideologies.
Uh-huh.
But it was because my dad the family needed money.
Yeah.
I mean, so when she wanted, she wasn't doing, it wasn't a career. She needed dough. We needed money. That's my little 101. And I don't know if it was a better place, a worse place, but it was a different place. And I don't know what that led to or didn't lead to, but it did. And now when I look at this story that I found yesterday, I brought it in about in Minnesota, they're asking fourth graders about what gender they identify, but you can't tell your parents I ask you this question. No, you just snorked, but that's legit.
I know.
Here's another one. Did you ever know any kids that had 22s?
Well, absolutely. Everybody did.
Sure. I'm serious about this.
North High School, they still have a rifle program there, which blows my mind.
Well, Martino, I've told the story. Martino was on a rifle team of his high school,
uh-huh.
and he rode the school bus with his rifle. He did. He told me the story all the time. He said he would, like, ride along on the school bus with his .22, with his target rifle.
Oh, yeah.
So you knew kids that had .22s.
Oh, I mean, it was the same thing. And I don't know how the kids get their – I guess they just keep them there. But I got to meet the instructor, and he was an amazing guy. And when you think about everything that else was going on in the schools, I was floored that North still had a rifle team, and they're doing pretty good.
No, sure. I mean, I can't say anything with any of that was wrong.
I know.
Maybe this is an old guy thing, and you're an old guy too, so maybe it's an old guy thing. But one of my laugh out louds this morning is this piece that was on Channel 7. The neighbors are worried about a plan to develop a parking lot that will wipe out a prairie dog colony.
Yeah.
No, you're like me.
Yeah.
I mean, did you ever talk to farmers and ranchers about prairie dogs?
Oh, absolutely. And the horses are breaking their legs all the time.
Cattle.
The cattle are breaking their legs. You know, they have their place, but boy, they've just gotten, they just overgrow everything.
Well, it speaks about, it's a real mommy news story. Dateline Arapahoe County. A prairie dog colony would be in jeopardy. I love that, in jeopardy, if a proposal to develop a parking lot moves forward. The parking lot is located near East Harvard Avenue and South Trenton Way, south of the Comcast building. That's the evil empire, Comcast. Uh-huh. And the land is also home to a colony of black-tailed prairie dogs. There's 80 dogs there, according to, I guess somebody went out and counted. I don't know how you count prairie dogs. And the kids love seeing the prairie dogs. And so they're upset.
I'm wondering if prey birds, predator birds, like prairie dogs. I don't see a lot of eagles and vultures flying around these prairie dogs. I mean, if the prairie dogs were good to eat, you'd think that the eagles would be coming back in droves.
Billy says foxes get them. Hawks get them. Hawks. Snakes get them. When they're little, yeah.
I wonder how many snakes are out there.
When you get a prairie dog, you get a snake.
What will be up there will be bull snakes mostly, based on where we are.
Billy's a reptile.
I'm a reptile geek.
He is. Yeah, he's a snake.
But yeah, they'll be bull snakes, but they'll go after the small ones. Prairie dogs get a little too big, and their teeth are a little too sharp when they get a little too large. But yeah, the bull snakes will go through the burrows. But you won't get a lot of rattlesnakes just based on it. Urban wise, it's not good for rattlesnakes. Bull snakes will do much better. But hawks will eat them. Yeah, foxes will go after them as well. But the problem is, they multiply too quickly. And they're rats.
They're rats.
I mean, they're just furry rats. They're just cute little squeaky rats. That's all they are. They're disgusting.
They're not that cute.
Well, they sit up there and they do little people things. You know, they sit up, they put their hands up, like, you know, and they go, and they stand up their hind legs and they go, dah, 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 dah. And so they're kind of like little people things. And so, they're awful. I would strangle them with my bare hands. They're horrible.
How about somebody just sent here's the first legitimate message of the morning. Drop a few weasels in there. Hey.
Yeah. I've got a friend coming this morning. He is from the College of the Ozarks. Have you ever heard of it?
I have not, but certainly the Ozarks.
Yeah, College of the Ozarks. And it's a school where students go to school, and they have a police program, they have a fire program, they have a dairy program. And they have, you know, of course, all the academics. Nobody pays any tuition. Every student has to work 20 hours a week. They've got a five-star hotel on the property.
Wow.
And it's all run by the students. There's no tuition. Did I say that?
Yes.
And but the students have to work. And it's called the Hard Work University.
Work.
One of the requirements is that when you graduate, you cannot have debt. And companies line themselves up to get these kids because they're fantastic.
Sounds a little different than the State of the City address yesterday from the mayor, doesn't it?
Oh my goodness!
The more you take care of people, if you want more of anything, underwrite it.
Yeah. Well, like you always say, Bob Cote is right, and we're a big supporter of STEP. We've got a little camp up here on 51st and Federal, and there's nobody there.
There's one growing under the bridge that we drive under every morning to come to work. I call them sidewalk Winnebagos. You know, they steal their shopping carts and mini Winnies. And there's now three of them there. All right, man.
Well, listen, you got one last thing, Pete, is that the only time you waste gas is when you don't drive.
Ah, take care of yourself. Thank you. 303-696-1971. Now Billy's being attacked as being a snake lover. Chances are right now you can refi your home loan and save $500 a month. It's true. Data shows 20% of homeowners are experiencing that right now. You could really save more if you want to call American Financing. I've done it. It works. American Financing, you get a free mortgage review. They do it. You start it up. You pick up the phone and call 303-695-7000. Bang, 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 bang. 303-695-7000. Then they take it from there. There's no obligation. There's no pressure. There's no upfront, no hidden fees. You're looking to a very low rate. Remember, everything changes. You spend less time paying that puppy off. You spend less money every month. You get a pay raise and you're in the wind. 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000, NMLS 182-333, I can't do this, NMLS 182-334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate. It's 549, 11 before the hour, Tuesday, the 27th morning of July, 2021, 97 to high, 98 tomorrow. Go to the phones, we go to John on line one. John, you're on the show, good morning.
Yeah, hi, Pete. I've talked to you before, but the reason I was calling this morning was regarding this mayor's announcement, you know, what he wanted to do with the homeless and everything, and that is such a waste of time, Pete.
It's dangerous.
He's going to be doing is enabling these people to destroy more stuff.
Sure.
Step 13 is the only answer. I have something I want to run by you, though. Sure. What do you think about this? What they really need to do, I don't even know if they still have this or not, but I'm sure you've heard of Boys Town at one point in time.
Yeah, it was in Nebraska, outside of Omaha, I think.
Right. Well, you know, what they really should do is build like a community, whatever, outside of Denver, get land, whatever, and construct something like that, and get these people, like, into a community like that, where they get sober and everything, you know, get their lives back on track and go something like that.
That's step. It's an in-house, you know,
I'm just saying get a bigger piece of property have something like that, Pete. That'd be a lot more constructive and help out a lot more people in the right way.
I like what you're saying. The problem is the problem. There's empty beds in step tonight. Or empty beds in step last night. And yet, if you look at what Hancock will play it for you after the top of the hour, but Hancock is saying is, we're going to take care of you. And the most frightening thing that any government can say is, I'll take care of you, or we will take care of you.
Right.
And this is Michael Hancock smugly telling everyone, we are going to transform the city into a model of equity and inclusion. That's laugh out loud funny, but when he gets to what they want to do now with the unsheltered, I mean, it's dangerous. He's killing people on the installment plan.
Well, yeah, exactly. And all he's going to do is destroy this city even more than what it already is.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's the point of this. And that's why, again,
you think things are bad now, Pete? You wait.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, San Francisco is the road to hell, and
exactly.
This is another one of these lessons to the burgeoning Republican ideology. Forget this other crap. This is where you win. If you get into Denver, and I understand if you can pull 30-35% of the Denver votes, you can win. And if you're running a statewide election, for instance, senator, to challenge Michael Bennett, if you can get 35% of Denverites to come your way, you can dump this guy. But you can't go in with the insanity that I listen to. You have to go in with real solutions and point out problems where we're you know, working men and women. I still say the test case right now is over on Montview Boulevard in that Methodist church, that all of these – wait for this. I mean, this is going to get so good. These tents are up, and they've covered the whole area with canvas. I've driven over there on my motorcycle 10 days ago, and they've blocked from view what you can see or not see. And watch for that to happen with sidewalk defecation and crime rates and break-ins.
Oh, it's going to get bad, Pete.
Oh, brother man. And so what does Michael Hancock say? We're going to give you some more of that.
God.
No, you're right. But this is a golden opportunity for the Republicans if they can hear it. And my best guess is they have deaf ears right now. But we'll see what happens.
Well, I just want to let you know, Pete, that I appreciate you. You're a man with a lot of wisdom.
You got to come here and read my email.
I appreciate you.
Come read the email or the texting. All right, man. 710 KNUS will play the mayor. And it is just incredible, the things that he said yesterday, to applause. And this guy's coming on the air by the name of John Swartz. You got to hang on for this guy at 8 o'clock. He's a Billy Thorpe. He's a pick the click. He's a mound of sound. He's a discovery. But he will be with us at 8 o'clock. And Billy says, batten down the hatches. It's a Tuesday. Stay here.